You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is 8 o'clock Saturday morning, and you are tuned into Rosie on the House, the third Saturday of the month. So we're talking gardening. Now, Jay Harper can answer just about anything about the outdoor landscape, even hardscape and artificial turf. Hang on. One more time.
There
we go.
The button that says on, you got to push that. You know, so it's been a while since I've been here. I've already forgot how to turn the mic on. Thanks, Gary.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text to 411-923 or email info@rosieonthehouse.com if you've got a question about your outdoor landscape, hardscape, gardening. We are moving into fall planting season, soil prep time. And, man, how about all this rain and storms?
You know, we are having – somebody said – I said, you know what? This is what it used to be like in the 70s, 60s, 70s. It may go back that far. I don't know. It's been a while since we've had this every 3 or 4 days, just a – big old-fashioned lightning, thunder, you know, light show in the sky, several times a week kind of an event. Now, we've had some places that have had some wind that we didn't used to get, although, you know, we had those too. Remember back when there was more trailer parks and trailer resort, you know, you'd always have the stories of those getting turned over and the damage. So maybe it was more of that than landscaping. But there's been some pretty devastated areas when it comes to trees. And we could talk about that if we get to it, about proper tree watering, proper tree placement, drip irrigation. I've seen a lot of great big, particularly Palo Verdes, laying on their sides in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And we've had a pretty substantial monsoon. Now the rainfalls are going to vary dramatically from place to place like they always do. But
we had one night, we watched this huge storm, and we're straight as the crow flies south of Wickenburg. And Tinley's friend, you know, they're getting pounded, and we saw it coming. Jay, it's like it split a mile before us, and half the storm went to the east, half to the west. We didn't get a drop. Now
you could smell it.
You could smell it, and we didn't get any. Now, two nights later, I'm driving home on Patton, and it's dry, it's dry, it's dry. I pass Crozier, and it's flooded from there to I don't know how far west. And I get home, and there's standing water. And you know, there hadn't been in the last 60 miles driving
and
home,
you,
except
and you
the
didn't
last
get to see it.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, it was gone by the time I got
darn.
There. Amanda said, "You wouldn't believe what you missed." I said, "Gosh darn it."
Yep. It's that way. I got caught in a world-class one Thursday in Welton at a customer's date farm. And, I didn't think I was going to get home. It was really running water across the road, down the road. The whole road was a river going out of there.
What just is left in my lunchbox? How, if I had to sit here, how?
Well, they were, I mean, I guess they'd have had to put me up for the night. Eat a lot of dates.
That is the nice thing about it, that on the storms is they move fairly quickly. Even when something's flooded, a couple hours later, it's dried up and gone.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. Yeah, it doesn't take long for that water. I mean, it was just minutes, and everything was a raging river, and it all kind of went to this road. You know, typical kind of a desert road. It had been plowed so many times, the road was about 2 feet lower than
right.
the surrounding area. So it just became the river channel. And once you're about halfway in, you're like, uh-oh, what have I done? I guess I'll just keep going, see what happens. So I now call my truck the amphibious assault vehicle. But we did all right. So I got to drive from Phoenix to Yuma and back Thursday, and from Phoenix to San Simon and back yesterday. So you just had Arizona highways on. I did Arizona highways up close and personal this week across the southern third of the state anyway. And I don't know that I've ever seen Bowie and San Simon green, but it's green.
Oh, man. It just and did you hear the little town of Mammoth? I mean, Governor Ducey's declared a state of emergency.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, Mammoth just got hammered, I guess.
Wow.
I don't know what happened
there.
Yeah,
well.
I'll tell you what. If there's a contest for the most beautiful, lush, green backyard, I could win it right now.
Yeah?
I mean, the TIF lawn is just absolutely. If there weren't for this one little patch of spurge, it would be a perfect lawn right now.
Nice. Well, that's the one thing about humidity and rain. Oh. And you just can't replicate that by watering irrigation water. And it just makes your fertilizer work better. It's just all that free nitrogen coming out of the atmosphere with the lightning and the rain is pretty spectacular what it does, especially for Bermuda grasses. And that's fantastic. You should enter.
Yeah. You should see my artificial grass, man. It's fantastic.
It's clean. It's cleaned right off. Huh? Mine's full of leaves. Instead of mowing, I vacuum.
Now, it's funny you mentioned that about how great the TIF lawn looks. If we're going to overseed in winter lawn, it's about the time we're trying to start killing it off, isn't it?
I know. It's, you know, we
so counterproductive.
You know, we call on a lot of golf courses, and you know, all that ryegrass dies, and they call it transition, and their golf courses look ugly, and they struggle with it, and it's frustrating. All of June, really mid June to about the 1st of August, and then they finally get them really looking good about the 1st of September, and we start scalping. But, you know, if you figure when you're really using and enjoying that lawn, it's in the wintertime. So that's when our lawns really want to be the best, is those winter lawns and when they're getting used. And in fact, it's maybe an argument. You can't do this, obviously, if you're a golf course, but for homeowners to not sweat too much what the summer lawn looks like, you know, get it through. But really that winter application, the cool season, the ryegrass is the overseeded lawn, is what you're probably going to enjoy the most. You know, you mentioned fall gardening around the corner. My visit to Yuma was to some farm customers, and they have already started planting some cabbage, some celery, some cauliflowers start going in. Believe it or not, you know, fall vegetable gardening on the commercial side has begun.
Already started.
Has begun. So it's time for homeowners to start getting that ground ready, start, you know, tilling it up, working it up, getting some good organic compost in there, and start working that soil. I'm a big advocate of doing it starting early, do a little bit at a time. Don't kill yourself, you know, and do a really good, thorough job of turning the soil over and working organic material in. When you think you've done enough, do some more. Do it again. There's no big hurry. Our winter vegetable season is very long. You don't have to be in a big hurry to get it in. Take the time and do a very thorough job of preparing that soil with organic material and gypsum or something to kind of counteract the salts and the compaction that's occurred all summer long. And my brother Jeff always told customers, when it feels good to you out there, that's probably a good time to start planting.
Whenever you can take
whenever,
it.
when you think it's okay, it's not so bad out, okay, well then it's probably time to start.
Now, how deep do we need to go? I mean, if we're not doing carrots and we're just trying to get a good root base for, what do we got? Lettuce is coming up. We've got radishes.
Yeah, anything you can eat the leaf of or the root of or kind of a modified part of the stem of, okay? So, yeah, what you mentioned, radishes and carrots and lettuce and spinach and cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower and all the greens, mustards, kales, all of those things. So, you know, in most cases, if you're not trying to grow, a carrot per se, I would say 6 inches is okay. You know, a foot's always a good, if you can get it really good to a foot, that'd be great. But, you know, we grow in these square foot garden kits and garden boxes and all that, you know, they're 6 to 8 inches deep, and you can do a fine job with leafy stuff in a fairly limited depth of soil. So, I always go, you know, I'm a big believer, like I said, do it little, do it a lot, stretch it out, do a good job, get it down as deep as you can. But the depth of a normal regular garden spade or shovel, you know what, 8-10 inches, something like that, is probably about right.
It's amazing how working up 8 inches by the time you're ready for the next planting season, you've...
Oh, yeah.
that 8 inches is 2-3 inches.
And all that compost and organic material that you put in, you can't hardly find it. You know, it's turned back into brown, desert-looking soil, right? So that stuff just kind of solubilizes and disappears. And you just, because you did it 6 months ago, doesn't mean it's adequate. You need to re-prepare. Of course, we'd love for you to use chicken manure. But, any good organic material is the way to go. If you compost yourself, great. But make sure it's well composted. Don't till into the soil anything that's not completed the composting process. The best way to tell that is it generating heat, or is it smell and, have that kind of still a strong ammonia-y smell to it? It's still working, so you need to let it work a little longer.
When you mentioned the chicken manure, I know the Farm's Choice, you gave me a 5 gallon or 5 pound,
15 pound,
15 pound
plastic tub.
Mm-hmm. Could I put that in my lawn fertilizer and just run it through the orchard and let it spread like I would any like a lawn fertilizer?
Oh sure, yeah, you bet.
I have to do that. I've got this big dream of getting a liquid inject into the irrigation system and just gradually feed mm-hmm. every time it waters. But that infrastructure and that project is out there in the cloud right now.
The pelleted product that I gave you is really what we call an ag pellet. It's not a turf pellet. So it's meant for garden, tree, shrub, orchard type applications. So it's awesome for that.
The Farm's Choice, you can find that. A lot of nurseries around town you could call.
Yeah, you can go on our website, farmschoice.com, and there is a list of people that are handling the product.
And when you talk about local and organic, it's basically the manure from Hickman's Eggs.